A young lady presented herself for church membership. An old mossy back deacon stood up and said, "Was you a sinner?" She said, "I sure was." Said, "Are you still a sinner?" She said, "I sure am." He said, what can you tell us to make it where we can decide where you can be a member or not?" And she simply said, "I was a sinner chasing after sin. Now I'm a sinner running away from sin." Amen. I want you to turn to John chapter number 2 tonight. John chapter number 2. Last Tuesday morning, a week ago from today, some years back, I asked God, I said, "I don't feel like I'm getting what I ought to be getting out of the Word of God. And the older I get, the more I want to know about the Word of God. I'm going somewhere, and I really want to know about it before I get there." And I said, "Lord, can you help me out?" And He began to wake me up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And I've learned some things in these few years that God has begun to do that. And I'm not going to come at this passage of Scripture tonight in the manner that we normally hear it preached. There's not too many ways that I haven't heard it preached already. But I want to share a thought or two with you tonight that I feel like God has spoken to my heart about, and share that with you tonight. Now I want you to notice how God has clothed this passage of Scripture in John chapter number 2. In verse number 1, He starts the clothing. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And really, there was not a time that there was not Word of God too. And He goes on. But not only does He begin to clothe it in verse number 1, in chapter number 1, but I come to chapter number 3, and He really wraps us up in the clothing. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he talked to the Lord, and Jesus said to him, "Ye must be born again." He said, "How can an old man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb the second time?" And Jesus referred him again to this idea, "You must be born of water and the Spirit." I'll be back to water in just a little while. And so he goes on to relate some other things. And you cannot get around some things. But I want to begin to read in verse number 1 now. In John chapter number 2. And it said, "In the third day," a picture of the resurrection really, "and the third day was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.'" And a number of times He says that until He gets to John 13. "His mother said unto the servant, 'Whatsoever he said unto you, do it.' And there were set 6 water pots, or of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And He said unto them, 'Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast.' And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew the governor of the feast, called the bridegroom, and said unto him, 'Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine.'" And by the way, let me just stop here. On Monday, I was talking to a resident of Ballardsville. That is down the road a little ways, ain't it? All right. And he was talking about the Episcopal Church. And he said that in the service, they go around and pour a little in the service that he goes to, that they'd pour a little juice in this and everybody would drink. And then the priest or whatever they're called go back up with the fifth to the pulpit, and they drank all that and had to get a taxi cab to take them home. I said, "Sir, I don't know where you go to church, but I believe I'd be finding another one." He said, and when the ruler, verse 9 said, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. By the way, if you could look on the face of Jesus tonight, you'd blush. But the servants which drew the water knew the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But that thou hast kept the good wine until now." Yeah. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Yeah. Now I've got where I look for a lot of different words when I'm reading a passage of Scripture, and especially words that start with the same letter. I just like it. It helps me to think, and believe it or not, somebody said, "Do you really have a mind?" I'm trying to find that. But anyway, I like words that start together because it helps me to put my thoughts together. And old Dr. Lee Robinson years ago said to us students, if in your outline you got at least one word in every point that starts with the same letter, they may forget everything else you said, but they remember that one word, and then they begin to pick up on your message again.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there's some things here. And the first thing I want you to think about is a wedding.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, a wedding is when a man said, "I do," and the young lady says, "I know you will." And that's what a wedding is. But the idea that I want to give you tonight about the wedding is, I want to compare it to salvation. Now, I don't know what happened to you when you got saved. I don't know your reaction, and you don't know mine. But I do know this much. There's excitement when there's a wedding going on. And when a person really gets birthed into the family of God, get born again, bless God, there's not only excitement on the earth, there's excitement in glory. And there ought to be some excitement. By the way, I'm in my sunrise years. I thought I was one of the younger preachers around here last night, and somebody told me Brother Cheney wasn't about 64 years old. And I got him beat by a long way. But I'm not in my sunset years, ladies and gentlemen. Brother Duncan, I'm in my sunrise years. Every day now gets brighter and brighter. The nearer I get home, the brighter the day gets. And as just as a wedding, there's excitement. Let's get happy once again over what God's done for us, don't you? And really rejoice in the salvation that God has given us. I went to the well and I took a drink. I was raised in the sticks. My wife was raised so far back in the woods that they piped sunshine in through a hollow log and swung out to the mailbox on a grapevine. I don't know how I ever found her. But I'm telling you, back in those sticks, we had some great water. We had springs that come out of the hillsides. We kept pickle jars hanging on a stick somewhere close by. And when we'd get thirsty out in the field, we'd run down to where that spring was and get a little drink. Lemonade won't quench that thirst. Pop won't change that thirst. Jack Daniels won't quench that thirst. Only water will quench that thirst. And we ought to still be reacting as though, by the way, we're only engaged right now.
Yeah, that's
right. We're going to a wedding. Oh, Brother Arnold, 95 years old, you think how long he's been dancing around on this earth preaching the Word of God? And you don't think it's going to be a great day in heaven when he gets there? I don't know how big of a shout he's going to break out in, but heaven's really going to break out in a shout when he gets there. And I tell you something else, I'm going to break out in a shout when I get there too. There ought to be some exciting times about salvation. We sit around like a dead cat lying around and molding and mildewing and stinking, and we forget what we ever got in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's high time Baptists wake up again. Then I wanted you to notice something else that's in that passage of Scripture. They had a need, it said they wanted. When I got saved, I had a need. I wanted something that I did not have. Now let me, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but in the Baptist church I got saved in, when I went forward that morning, my 49-year-old daddy went forward in the same service. One of us was on one side of the pulpit praying, and the other one's on the other side. Neither one of us knew the other went forward. But if it had not been for the Holy Ghost that morning, I would have never got saved, because the clerk come down beside me with a little old card in her hand and a pencil or a pen, one or the other, and said, "Do you come by salvation? Do you come by membership? You come by baptism." I'm glad the Holy Ghost let her sit down and kept dealing with my wicked, ungodly soul. I had a need. I wanted something that I did not have that day. And I'm glad God met my need that day. I believe God can save your wonder as well as your soul. Amen. Not only do I find a wedding, and not only do I find a want, but I also find the water pots. Now, it said there were six water pots, if I remember correctly. Six being the number of man. They were empty. And if you're here tonight, you listen to this preacher. If you're here tonight and you've never been to Calvary, I've never been saved by the marvelous grace of God, you as empty can be. The preacher was talking about landing that airplane without any fuel in it this morning. You're just that empty. It's not the water pots, really. In one sense of the word, is not the thing that is important here. It's what God's going to do with the water pot that is important. I like it. Empty. I don't know about the rest of these preachers. Brother Duncan, a lot of times I've been home after I preached on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I've preached my soul out, and nothing's happened that I could see outwardly. No response of no kind. And you lay there during the night and can't sleep, and you cry and you cry and you cry. You feel like that you're just as empty can be. And what did I do wrong? What did I not listen at today? Lord, you said you would bless me. You would bless my ministry. I'm an empty water pot again. Please, dear God, do something for me. But I want you to notice, he didn't put fermented wine in them things. He put water. Now, I may have to get Dr. Arnold to help me out here a little bit, but I believe I'm right. I believe water in the Word of God, unless the context states otherwise, is talking about the Word of God. The mother said, "You do what he tells you to do." And he told him to put the word, he put water in that jug. And if you drink from that fountain, you'll get fed. You know the reason a lot of Baptist folk go home from church and bless the preacher out and bless the church out and said, I'm going to find me another place because I'm not being fed. Well, you old stinking buzzard, you ought to get out and get some water in your pot where you can find where the Word of God is, and you won't have to curse the preacher so much.
Amen.
Water. Jesus said in John chapter 4, I believe it is, if you drink of this water, you won't ever have to drink again. I believe them once saved, always saved. I believe once in grace, always in grace. And if you don't like it, just smile and go on your way. Now let me show you something else about water. I got to thinking about when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt. And water done two things when they came out of Egypt, if you'll go back and read and remember. It said when the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, I believe it was, or the Jordan, whichever, it said that God allowed them to cross over on dry ground.
Amen.
Talking about when you and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But the movie theater is wrong, because when they made the movie and showed the Egyptian army marching out here where the children of Israel has already been, it showed the Egyptians marching on across the sea there. But my Bible said, and God folded the sea up around them. He drowned every one of those rascals out of Egypt. Where Mr. Obama ought to be tonight. Water. Somebody said, do you ever take a bath? Take it on Saturday night, whether I need it or not. Water. And I'm telling you right now, I tell you, last night in the messages, this morning in the message, I tell you, when that fellow preached on all that stuff this morning about he's the best you've ever seen, I thought I'd done drink that I couldn't drink no more. I'm about ready to start burping for a while. Water. Years ago, I was on the radio in Campbellsville, Kentucky. And I preached between two Church of Christ preachers. The one on before me tore up what I said the week before. And the one that came on after me tore up what I said that morning. I took that for about a year, and I thought I'd had enough. And I said to the radio audience one day, I said, I'm fixing to stop these two Church of Christ preachers talking about me so much. Yeah. I said, they are liars. They do not believe what they preach. And by the way, the Church of Christ and the Christian Church got started here in the state of Kentucky, so you better be careful. But this is what I said on the radio. I said, they don't really believe what they preach. I said, they talk about that when you get saved, you can't be saved unless you're baptized. And I said, that can't be true, because they say that you can lose your salvation, but when you get saved again, you don't have to get baptized again because you've already been baptized. That's a lie. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. And I said, so here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I said, what they preach is that when you get saved and get into baptistry and get baptized, that water washes all of your sins off. Then they drain the water out of the baptistry and it runs out on the ground. Then it finds an underground stream. And after it finds an underground stream, it finds an open stream. And the farmer's cows go down to the open stream and drink the water. The cows come back up to the barn. The farmer milks the cow. Then he takes the milk to the market. I go to the market and I buy the milk. And I give the milk to my youngins. And that makes my youngins worse sinners than I am. I never did have any more problems out of them. So there's a wedding that we ought to be excited about. There's a want that needs to be filled. There's water pots. that are empty. There's water, the Word of God, that'll fill it up. And then there is wine. Now, I believe wine is a type of joy. Now, hang in there. I said, I'm going to a wedding. I'm really going to a wedding. And the preacher preached the other night, sometime or another, already in this meeting, that was it you, Brother Joe, that said he poured the oil in? I'm glad the oil's already been poured in, but I'm fixing to drink the wine, brother.
Amen, brother.
I'm going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. As it was said this morning, I believe, the rapture's just around the corner. It could happen tonight before we ever get out of this earth. And if it does, hallelujah, glory to God. And as my boy back yonder used to say, I said, if you don't straighten up, you're going to die early. He said, I'll just get to heaven before you do. And I was afraid he was going to do that for a while. Took him about 20 years to get right with God. But joy. Now, if you're here and you're saved tonight and you're going to the wedding that I'm talking about, and this is future tense, and I know that. But if you're going to the wedding I'm talking about, when you get there, you're not going to sit on a knot. You're not going to be sitting like you're not on a log like some of you are tonight. You're going to get loose as a goose. Even Mrs. Twitty will have a good time. Mary Bergen to learn what obedience is all about. Are you here, Mary? Don't raise your hand. I'm just simply saying to you, there ought to be excitement in the air. Hey, we're fixing to drink the wine of all wine. And it's not fermented. It is the fruit of the vine. David knew what all that was about because he'd gone by the wine press. Yeah. The only thing about it on the earth, when we find the wine on the earth in the wine vat, they're mashing it out with their dirty feet and toe jam. Yeah. But it'll be pure stuff when we arrive home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Nothing tainted about it whatsoever. You don't see much with this that's standing behind this sacred desk tonight. And I'll probably not ever be much more than what I am right now. But I got news for you. When the wedding takes place, I'll have the garment on. And I'll be all I need to be. I'll be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus.